Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for see and get underway in a world where everything is on demand. The way customers buy has changed.
People have an abundance of information and choices at their fingertips, and the divide between companies and buyers is wider than ever.
Whether you're an entrepreneur, executive, or marketer, it's time to look beyond your sales process and focus on how your customers buy.
CEO and entrepreneur Martin R. Lewis introduces fresh ideas and methods in his new book, How Customers Buy and Why They Don't.
Intended for companies of any size to increase revenue, Lewis challenges you to rethink your current selling method, whether you're a one-person home-based business, mid-size small business, or Fortune 500 company.
So, greetings, Martin R. Lewis. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our audience.
Hello, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for connecting in. Yeah, I saw you're dialing in, connecting in from wine country today in Northern California.
Exactly correct. Yes.
That's what I've always wanted. My dream business is to open up a winery or be like an entrepreneur in wine or beer distribution. So
if you actually lived here, you'd know how much work that is. And although it's an aspirational goal, you'd probably give it up pretty quick when you see how much work's in those very romantic notions.
Yeah, I didn't want to work hard. I just wanted to have fun in my business, but that's probably not a good model that'll work very long.
That's the part that I am. I'm at the end. I'm the consumer. I enjoy the product.
Good. So let's get started on getting better at sales by better understanding our customer. Martin Lewis, what are six elements of the customer's buying DNA?
Well, the buying journey DNA really came up from the work we did with our customers, where we talked to their customers. So we talked to the buyers, and we've talked to literally thousands of buyers about how they buy. And then we've created this thing called the buying journey DNA, which is a stamp of any market, how markets buy. And as you said, there's six elements. The six elements that we think you should know about how your buyers buy start with number one, what we call the triggers. What is it will actually trigger somebody into a buying journey? Why would they even consider buying your offering? The second one is then the steps or the activities. What do they go through as they go through their buying journey? Do they do research? Do they look at alternatives? Do they have to think about where they're getting the money from? So what are the activities they go through? And you know what? That's usually a sequence of events. So what's the sequence of activities they go through? Number three is who gets involved? Who, what we call the key players. So who else gets involved in that buying journey? And for what reason and when? Then we talk about the buying style. And that's essentially how people know what to buy and where they buy it. So do they know what they're going to buy, or are they going to come and ask for advice in what they're going to buy? Do they know where they're going to buy it? Like my wife bought five Hondas in a row, so she obviously knew she was going to buy a Honda. Or do they kind of approach this saying, I've got choice? Then the fifth one is what we call the value drivers. What do they value? What motivates them across their buying journey? And what do they hope to gain from their acquisition? And then finally, the sixth one, so overlooked, so trivialized, and yet maybe the most important, what are their concerns? What's the friction in the buying journey that could slow down or stop them buying? So those are the six elements of what we call the buying journey DNA.
So I kind of like your approach on this. You have more of a systematic approach to not just shoot from the hip, but to really break down the thought process. And a lot of it, I imagine, is subconscious in your buyer to better understand that, and then that'll help lead to better sales.
It's a really interesting thing because, yes, in some ways it is subconscious. I mean, we would never ask the buyer, map out your buying journey, because they really don't go about it in that conscious of way. But for a particular market, this is the key. For a particular market, buyers buy in a remarkably similar way.
It's interesting. Well, you know, the online selling environment is shaking up every business. Martin, how have today's buying journeys drastically changed from the past, and why does this matter?
Well, it matters a heck of a lot, and you already said that the key is technology. It's not just technology. You know, I was the first assigned salesperson back in the 80s. And it's amazing to think back to those days. If anybody wanted to know about our company, the products we sold, even our phone number or fax number, whatever, what do they had to do? They had to dial our 1-800 number and talk to, guess what, a salesperson. We used to take it in turns to answer that phone, and people would say, well, could you tell me your shipping address? Or could you please send me the latest brochure? And there it is. They were after key information. And of course, we would never send that brochure. What we would do is we'd go and meet with them. We'd deliver the brochure so we could talk to them. So we were connected. We were, as a salesperson, we were the conduit through which all information had to flow between the buyer and the supplier. We controlled that. So in many ways, buyers were waiting for the salesperson to send out information to help them configure, to help them decide what they wanted, to do pricing. Well, what's happened today? The internet, thankfully, is the biggest brochure you could ever imagine. People have information and, of course, disinformation at their fingertips. Think of the information that you can get, how you can connect to other buyers. A simple example, of course, is Yelp. If you're looking at what restaurant to go to, or perhaps somebody down the road, a graphics artist, as I was looking at the other day, you can just turn to Yelp and connect with other buyers. But that holds true for whatever you're buying today. The amount of information you can get and how you can connect with other buyers is just staggering.
And is this, just a question there, does this create like a requirement or a need for the business owner to put, to make sure that they have good information on their company online that people can access so that they're not going out and trying to dig dirt up on you, which is pretty easy to find on the internet, but you want to have a good presentation on your company that they can access online.
Absolutely. It's an unfortunate fact of life today. It was way better as a salesperson when I could go out and meet with somebody, understand their needs, and maybe guide them in what they needed or wanted. But those days are over. Today, people expect and rely on information being available to them. So it's best to control that. It's best to make that available to them. And this all comes back down to understanding the buying journey. What does your buyer expect? When do they expect it?
You know, that brings up a really good point that I remember, you know, those days when you delivered information on your company and you could wrap that into your sales presentation. But now your prospect may be completely educated on what you're doing and bad things about you and good things about you before you can even make that two-way sales connection.
Absolutely. Statistics have shown that buyers now get more than halfway through their buying journey before they even connect with a salesperson. Which is
halfway.
Really staggering. So it means that we really have to manage that. Even if we're managing that online, we have to manage the buying journey, make sure we're serving the information they need in the right fashion as they go through that journey.
Fascinating. Well, before we go on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Little Jimmy's Italian Ices and Push Carts. Start up a business selling their delicious and healthy Italian ices. Easy transport. Cart fits in most minivans or SUVs. No experience required. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. For more information, call 800-763-4348 or visit ItalianIce.net or our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Martin, we all know it's essential to get inside the customer or client's mind. What is your secret to unlocking how buyers think?
Well, ask them. Ask them and listen carefully. But don't ask them something like, do you prefer blue or green? That's so leading. It's such a closed question. Ask them what matters to you. So ask them very big questions. And if I run back through those six elements of the DNA, think about it, triggers. Ask them, why would you be in a sales, in a buying journey in the first place? Why would you even think about buying this? Activities, ask them about what they do. The third element was roles. Ask them who else do they gets involved, who do they go to, either face-to-face or online. So who else gets involved? The buying style, how do they know what they want? Ask them, how do they know what they want? Ask them, where would they usually buy or where do they expect to buy? The value drivers, the fifth element of the DNA, ask them what motivates them. What do they want from a supplier? Why are they doing this? What do they hope to gain as a result of it? And then so importantly, those buying concerns, that six of the six elements of the DNA, ask them about what concerns do they have. Now, they're going to tell you price. That is a concern of convenience. It's not one that usually stops things. Ask them what's really on their mind. When they're buying something, what are they thinking? If they buy this, what else does it mean to them? What other issues may they have? What are their thoughts? What are their hurdles they have to get through? So really listen very, very carefully to what concerns or anxieties they may have.
So it sounds like you're, you know, looking for some emotions to be triggered, perhaps in who's buying, and to key off of those, and to, you know, let them know that you're thinking beyond just the basics of your product and kind of like what actually is important to them, and engage into their feelings, also an emotion. And I like your point that you also made about, and it can't be made enough, that buyers do not buy on price. I mean, I've heard price is kind of like an initial discriminator where they might rule you out if they think the price is too high and maybe even too low. But that at the end of the day, it comes down to kind of the factors you're talking about in your DNA.
Totally. Absolutely.
Well, you know, Martin, you know, sales slumps are inevitable in any business, and that's a red flag. Time to make some changes. What should you do when your customers aren't buying your product or service?
Let's start with what you shouldn't do and what most people do. They see their product and their offering is such a great thing. They know the value it will deliver to their customers. So they go down the path that businesses go down all the time, and it's the wrong path of thinking, if a customer understood this, they would buy. Good grief, I'm offering you $20 for $8. Can't you see that? If you could see that this is only going to cost you $8 and it's going to give you $20, you would buy. That is bad logic. Customers turn down opportunities like that every day because they've got a lot of them. There's a lot of things they can do. So naturally, what people do when customers aren't buying, they think, we're not explaining our product well enough. We need to change our messaging. We need to change our value propositions. That is usually not the case. The thing that's stopping customers buying is that they've got other things they're looking at, and there's friction in their buying journey that you need to uncover. So the first thing is, do not go to thinking, we're not explaining our product well enough, because if they understood it, they'd buy it. Go again, get outside in, an expression we use a lot, get outside in, go back to the buyers and find out what's really going on in their mind. What are they doing instead of buying your offering?
And so, you know, wrapped into that, and it's a point I just wanted to pull out. You also wouldn't recommend trying to like adjust your offer if they're not buying, you know, and just instead of talking to them, just go in and start adjusting your offer, which is instinctive what a lot of home-based entrepreneurs are saying. You're saying to stop and get inside that DNA and figure out where the friction point is in their buying and address that.
Actually, let's take a very simple example, a very kind of trite example or whatever. When people were buying cars, a big objection, a big concern would be, well, what's this going to cost to maintain the car? I'm going to own the car for 3 or 4 years. How much is it going to cost to maintain? So that was overcome by giving you warranty. Now, you obviously pay for the warranty by when you buy the car, but the warranty overcame the concern of what it's going to cost. The wrong thing would to have done in that case is trying to prove to people that it's really not going to be that much to maintain. That would not have addressed the issue. But by providing a warranty, you take away the issue of maintenance costs.
So speaking further on that topic, Martin, name some of the buying concerns that can derail the buying journey.
Fascinating topic. There's a vast number of concerns, but we've got them categorized by 9 particular categories. Let's just go through them quickly, and perhaps viewers and listeners can think about their own offering and which ones of these are likely to come up as I go through these 9. The first one is the process. Does somebody know how to buy this? So if they work for an organization, do they know who's going to approve it? Does purchasing have to get involved? Will IT get involved? So what's the process? Number 2 is the person that you're selling to, often called the champion. What do they stand to gain? Where are they? Is this something they're really going to push through? Number 3 is then the organization or the politics. Who else is going to get involved? What are they going to do? Are they going to say, you know, a better use for that money is over here, or before we do that, perhaps we should do this? So the politics and the organization. Number 4 is the priority. How important is this for them? In today's world, unless something is vitally important, people will continue and go on with what they're doing. Everybody's got too much to do and too many things on their plate that even if they know this is something that's going to create value for them, unless it's a real priority, it's likely to be bypassed. Number 5, alternatives. What else could they do with their time and money? And this isn't just the competition. This is anything that they could spend that money or time on. Or the worst alternative of them all, the way that we see most people losing business, is doing nothing. That what we're doing is good enough. It's not hurting. We'll just continue to do what we've always done. Six is business. And quite frankly, this is one that is usually the only one that people think about. Business is what's the business side of this? How much is this going to cost? How do we justify it to the business side? The last three are the silent killers. These are the ones that stop most buying journeys. Customers won't tell you about it. They'll come back and tell you its price. But these three are implications. If I buy this, what else does it mean? If I go with you as an insurance broker, it means that I now got to turn to that guy who's been providing me with insurance for 10 years and fire him. That's an implication. So what else do I need to do, buy, or what else has to happen if I buy your product? Implications. Fit is, does this fit with me? Is this the kind of thing I usually do? So if you're selling something that's revolutionary and new and different, well, there's some people that love that stuff. And then there's more conservative people that are looking for tried and true. So fit is, does it fit what you're offering? Does it fit the customer? Not everybody's going to buy. And then the last one, really the silent of the most silent killers, is change. Although people say, oh, I love change, people don't. In great today's stress. World, they will continue to do what they've always done, even if they know you are offering them something that's very good. If it means that they're going to have to change their work practices, if they're going to change their habits, it can be a barrier that stops people buying. So there's the nine buying category.
I like that nine. Just tying it in, it seems like politics. You wonder why people keep voting for the same political hacks all the time. And it's just that, you know, it's that same thing. It's like they're making a purchase decision, and making that change creates, you know, creates internal stress. Well, you know, this has been a great discussion about learning how our customers buy. Martin, let's wrap up with a rundown of the five essential components of your marketing engagement strategy.
Terrific. Well, the first thing is most companies, and I can talk about multi-billion dollar multinational companies, don't even have what I would call a marketing engagement strategy. They believe their offering is so good that all we have to do is go out there, tell people about it, and logically they will buy. Wrong. You need a marketing engagement strategy that is carefully crafted to match how customers buy, how your market buys. The five elements. Number one, how are you going to trigger or engage in their buying journey? So if they're not already in a buying journey, how are you going to get them into a buying journey? And if they're in a buying journey, how are you journey? Number two, how are you going to stay relevant? It may be great they come to you, get information, maybe get educated, maybe even entertained by you. But then how are you going to stay relevant with them and connected to them as they go through their buying journey? Number three, how are you going to match what you can bring to what they value? They are going through their buying journey for some reason. How do you match what you offer to those things that are important? Most companies have a long, long list of their value propositions. It doesn't matter. All that matters is why is the customer going through their buying journey. Number four is opposite. Those buying concerns we talked about. How do you flatten and mitigate those? How do you address them? And then number five, how do you positively impact and support the buying journey? And we say today that is the singular role of sales and marketing, is impacting and positively supporting the customer buying journey. The day the sales process, I think, are over. It's all about the buying process, what we call the buying journey. So how do we manage, navigate, and support the customer through their buying journey? So those are the five elements of what we call the marketing engagement strategy.
Yeah, I can't stress enough, you've got some great ideas there. And a lot of home-based entrepreneurs, they might be dealing with things on a small scale, but I think Absolutely. They need to understand that this engagement strategy, this journey, this DNA you're bringing up, It doesn't matter whether you're selling airplanes or direct selling a product. All your buyers are all going through that same process.
Absolutely correct.
Martin R. Lewis, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I just want to emphasize you brought up a lot of great points and a lot. It's very systematic in that, you know, our listeners can get a better rundown on encapsulating all this with Martin's book.
To learn more about Martin R. Lewis and his book, How Customers Buy and Why They Don't, visit buyingjourneydna.com or our podcast website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying, anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.